Well, we have just a few other testimonies for you now. We're going to watch a video from our partner, Ram Chandra. He's our newest partner. Many of you know that we were working in Nepal through Doug Paradise, but Ram was somebody that we've been working through closely, and so we've made him officially our partner. He leads New Generation Fellowship in Nepal. And then after Ram, we're going to hear from Ted Serres. He's going to come up and share a little bit about one book, followed by a video from one of the Bible translators in Cameroon, Kea Emmanuel. And then Donna West from City Kids will come up after that and share her one name testimony. And then we'll get into introducing our speaker for the morning.
Hi everyone, my name is Ramchandra Bisunke from Nepal. I and my wife, we serve in New Generation Community Fellowship, a disciple making church, and we are aiming to start an alliance movement for intentional disciple making church in the country. We have a church planting ministry, planting churches in the unreached region of the country, especially in the remote areas where transportation and things are difficult to reach out. We want to say thank you for all of your support and praying for us. Today, I also want to share with all of you about the power of one name, that name above every other names, which is name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. I came from the Hindu family, and in Hinduism, you know, that everything and anything can be God. As a teenage boy, I was also worshiping the God of education. I was believing that the God of education was truly helping me. And at that point of time, my oldest brother, who had become Christian just for a few months, started to sharing about Jesus Christ to me. When he started to share about Jesus Christ, actually, I started to like about Jesus, especially his love, his sacrifice, and his goodness. And I told to my brother whether I can accept Jesus and worship him, top of every other gods that I was continually worshiping in my own life. Because in Hinduism, another one good God can continually worship, and additionally we can worship. That will not be any issue. But my brother said, no, you can't do that. Because if you believe and accept Jesus Christ in your life, he is God of all the other gods. He is above every other names. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, you don't need to worship any other gods. That was something I found very different from my own religion. And I started to know about Jesus and wanted to continually understand who is this Jesus is all about. So that was the day I knelt down before Jesus and accepted that you are God above every other gods. Your name is above every other names. So since then, my brother and I became Christian continually in our whole household. About 41 of them came to know Christ. In fact, my own father, he accepted Christ in his age of 65, and he went to be with the Lord in his age of 92 recently. Beloved, I also have another story to tell you in my own ministry. In fact, I came to the ministry at the age of 16 in my own village. During that time, people and families from different homes were coming to know the Lord. In one of an occasion, a lady from a village started to come to know the Lord because she had an issue of demonic possession that she was continually going through. She was possessed by demons, and truly she was becoming weaker and weaker every day. As a result, when she was led to the church by her parents and we prayed for her in the name of Jesus, she was healed. In the church she will be all right, but after going to home and in her village, she will be possessed by demon once again. And then they used to call us and we used to go and pray for her and she will be freed again. That series went again and again sometimes seem to be possessed even at night, even during the day. And sometimes if we can't go to their home and to their village, we used to call them by phone and cast out demons out of her, and she would be all right. Finally, one day, she got completely freed from demonic possession. As a result, her whole household became believers in Christ. In fact, their family also started to influence so many others in their own village. Later, this lady became pastor's wife, and she is in the ministry now. And that's how we have seen the power of Jesus, power of one name that is above every other name in our life and in our ministry continually. Thank you. God bless you.
Well, unfortunately, our partner couldn't be here because Canada wouldn't approve his visa to come from Cameroon. But we have been working in a number of projects, one book, sponsoring a number of projects. In Harvest City, you've been part of, in the last few years, the JAMA Cluster Project. It is a group of three language groups, and they cluster them together. The teams work together to save on costs and be more efficient. And I'm pleased to tell you that the actual translation part has now been completed. There is a little bit more work to do. Now they've got to typeset everything. They've got to get the Bible printing happening and to kind of shorten the time between translation completion and printing. Actually, our partner, your partner, CabTel, has started their own printing press operation, and so they're just getting that down now. And then there's literacy courses, and there's church and Bible engagement, lots of things they have left to do. But the project is, you know, in terms of our part and our sponsorship, is coming to a near end. We'll get a few more details as time goes on. But I wanted to give you just a few stories from that project. Understand, these are the first fruits of how God is speaking to people in those communities. So one story is a lady named Tabitha. She's 50 years old, and she came from the Kawane village, one of the language groups. And she was in one of the villages, and she saw them reading materials in her own language. And she said, "I am now proud to be a Kawane, and I will take these materials back to my village, and we will learn how to read and write and use the New Testament." That's huge for somebody that's never had the scriptures. There's a few more stories. So living in the Para community, Mr. Camel grew up well acquainted with conflict and crisis. He knew well the comfort scripture can provide a person in the midst of a struggle. The experience of translating 1 and 2 Corinthians into his heart language, however, inspired him to dig even deeper. He examined the text with new eyes. Perhaps scripture could impact his world on even a larger scale. So Camel read 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the early Christians who were endowed with spiritual gifts but living in disorder. And he was reminded of his own fellowship of believers in the Para community. He was struck by the teaching on spiritual gifts and how it restores order and shows in how any Christian community must function. So now Camel prays for the Para believers to obediently exercise their spiritual gifts to bring order and harmony to the wider community. There was another gathering of a group of people. They were celebrating some of the literacy classes that were being held. And suddenly, out of this gathering, a voice cut through the low chatter and whispered conversation. And this person said, "You cannot experience the joy and peace that I am feeling at the moment." Everyone turned to look, and here he was the leader of the local Muslim association. "I don't know if you are feeling the same thing I am," he faltered slightly as complete silence fell over the crowd of more than 300 people. And looking around at the sea of faces, he boldly continued, "We are," this is the Muslim person saying, "we are pioneers of getting the New Testament into our language."
Can you imagine? This book will ensure that our name, our language, and cultural identity will be preserved forever. Now, he thought they were just bringing another holy book to their language, but now the gospel is reaching this Muslim community. That's amazing, isn't it? There was another gathering in the Kwane village on International Literacy Day, and after a lot of speeches, many were moving and congratulating, you know, about literacy. But then there was a teacher that got up from a local school, and he said, "I teach French in the schools, but I'm even more proud to teach Kwane, and I am grateful for everyone who has devoutly contributed to literacy manuals and classes in this community. And I have a challenge all of us to produce more Kwane books and continue teaching each other in the languages." And then some of the translator and part of the team who was also there, these are some of their comments. "It's a great joy to be able to read my mother tongue and teach others to read it. I have learned how the promises in the book of Romans chapter 9 match the promises given in the Old Testament, and they are still promised to believers today. I understand in a deeper way that we are saved by the grace of God, and that good news is powerful, giving new life to anyone who believes. And I am grateful for everyone who has worked to develop the Gamata language and can translate the Bible. I can now read my mother tongue and understand God's message even more to me." And this is Sam, a 50-year-old man from the Gamata community. So these are the first fruits when the Word of God goes to people for the first time. They finally get a better understanding. They might have had some understanding of God's word if they could understand maybe the national language or the trade language. Understand many people in these communities don't even understand those languages. So for the first time, and these are first fruits, and the best, I think, is yet to come. Here's one other story I just have to share with you. It comes from India, and a few years ago, there was a literacy class being held in this one community, the Hapuma community, and they were Christians. It was held in the church, and some of the community didn't like it, and so they protested, and they said anybody coming to these literacy classes are not allowed to come to the community well anymore to get water. So the pastor of the church says, "Well, I've got some property here where I live. We can dig a well." And so they began to get the boring equipment. They went down, 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 and no water, down, down. Finally, they went down, I think it was around 100 feet or something like that, and they just hit rocks, and there was nothing. And they were discouraged, but they held hands. I've got a picture. They held hands, and they just began to call on the name of Jesus. And they left, and the next morning, the well was full of water. Doesn't that work? And not only that, they made that well available to the people of the village. So I think we've got a video from our partner here in Cameroon. I was told I should reenact the video, but I think I've only seen it once, so I have no idea. I do want, this is a bit of a surprise, but I do want to say thank you, Harvest City, for your involvement over the years. And while I've just talked about the JAMA cluster project, another project you were involved in, it was the MEN project, spelled M-M-E-N, in Cameroon. And This is a community of 60,000 people, and Joel, I want to give you this. This is the finished product of the New Testament in them, and you can preach from it if you want. Harvest City, you have made a difference. You have made a difference in eternity, and you have made the Bible accessible to 60,000 people. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I guess we're not going to have the video.
All right, Donna, we're going to go directly to you because we're not sure what's happening with the video. I'll put this Bible out on the counter by the window if you want to have a look at it.
All right. Well, thank you, Harvest City, for this amazing weekend. It's always just a joy and a blessing to be here, and it just really refreshes us. The one name, how has Jesus worked in our ministry and us? Well, this past 18 months has been a very challenging time for me, both in ministry and personal. Things have just been kind of seemed like everything was collapsing and going like that. And as a very introverted person, when the pandemic hit, for me, that was just a great time. I was able to say no without feeling guilty. I was able to stay at home and not have to be around a whole bunch of people. And for me, it was just like it took a lot of pressure off of what I had been doing, or so I thought. I actually, you know, it was just amazing to be there and not have to deal with everything else. But a few weeks later, I started feeling that guilt. Our families and our children have been left out. They've lost every aspect of what was there for them and impacting them. The guilt kind of took over for me, but I have found ways that I could stay in contact with the kids and connect up with them and just be a part of them. But something that I didn't realize that I still had way too much time on my hands, going from doing very, very busy to almost doing nothing, feeling into that. And having all that time on my hands, I started doing things. Old habits started building back in. Things were starting to happen that should not have been happening. I started binge watching Netflix, started getting onto the video games. Our technology is wonderful, but it's always also very addicting, very hurtful to some people. And that's what I was happening. I didn't even have to leave my house to go buy groceries. You did that online, you ordered from restaurants, and I was just becoming exhausted. But it was for all the wrong reasons. I was making everything else a priority, and work was no longer even a priority. I started procrastinating, and that, again, was an old habit that I had done right from, years of remembering. And I started not being able to keep up with all the workload, and the pressure was getting there. But what I wasn't realizing was it wasn't the pressure of the workload. It was procrastinating, thinking that I had all this work to do because I would wait for the last minute and then it would all come tumbling down. Well, September 2023, everything kind of caved in on me. What had happened, I ended up spending a full day afternoon in the ER, ended up with a gallbladder and bladder infection. But that was my wake-up call. Sometimes God takes us right down to the bottom before we can really see what's going on. And that was my wake-up call. And after going home, I just spent some time in bed praying, talking to the Lord, finding out where do I go from here. The Lord just kept sharing with me trauma from my past. I hadn't let go of it. I needed to heal. And that was also some things that had been prophesied over me through some of the GIC events. And it was then that I realized that I needed to go through the Genesis program. As a leader, Christian leader, you don't want to admit that you're struggling. You don't want to admit that there's something wrong because then it's making you look weak. But the Lord opened up the door. A mutual friend of Kate's and mine works with Kate for the Genesis program. So I reached out to Arlene and I said, I need to do Genesis. That was in November of 2023. That was kind of where it was left at. January 2024, Arlene reached out and wanted to know if I wanted to do Genesis. Well, when somebody reaches out to you, you can't say no to something like that. So I, late January, started Genesis with Kate and Arlene. About 2 weeks into starting the Genesis program, The City Kids bank account was involved in a huge fraud. And I'm not just talking about a little bit. It was huge, to the point where the RCMP were involved. And it was something I had never gone through before and don't want to anybody ever to experience that. If it hadn't been for Arlene reaching out and saying, let's get started, I'd have never gotten through that. And it was God, just Jesus, just being there when we needed to be there. But 2024 just continued to be a year of turmoil, a year of ups and downs. And in one situation, it was literally a down. June 2024, we were delivering lunches to the children. We weren't doing complete programming, but we were all doing programming outside in their yard, similar to what we had been doing over the past few years. I took two steps into this one yard, and I literally went down into a 7-foot sinkhole full of water. God was there. It was just, it's, people ask me about it, and you know, it was just, I knew God was there with me. I knew the what it was there, but he also had all the volunteers right where they needed to be to watch it and see it and get me out. And so, you know, again, without going through Genesis at that time, I probably would not have been able to overcome that. What I found going through Genesis is the turmoil, the trauma that I had faced in my youth and early years was still there. And it was coming out the way it should not have been coming out. I was angry. I was getting frustrated and nothing was happening. But Genesis showed me how to handle that and get through it. And I kind of continued to just keep going and knowing that it was there. One of the things I really took away from Genesis, many things, but this one thing that I keep reminding myself, keep sharing with other people, was an answer that Kate gave me to a question I asked her many times. Why did I wait so long? Why now? Why not earlier? Answer is because God's timing is always perfect. God knows where you need to be and when you need to be there. And it was during the 2024 season that I needed to be in Genesis. So through all of that, it has helped me to know I've learned that it's okay to take care of myself. It's okay to take some rest. And it's okay to call out on the name of God and be there. Things have started changing. I am actually in a sabbatical right now, but I couldn't miss GIC. You need to be here for that, and it's just been amazing. God just keeps putting answers onto my heart now, and the rest has just been absolutely amazing. I truly know what it was like to hit rock bottom and have God be there with me. Take me out of that miry clay. And put me on there so that I can continue to reach out to the children of North Central Regina and their families. Because without taking this rest and this time, I wouldn't be able to continue. And even just last Tuesday at Life Group, I was reminded of a verse that God had given to me years ago that I was not hanging on to. But it's, in this world, we will have trouble and tribulations. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. And I know that through Jesus, I have overcome my tribulations. I have overcome my trauma. And next year, I'll be back out there working with those children and getting them knowing that God has a plan for them. Thank you.
Thanks, Donna. Appreciate that. Well, just before I introduce Peter, I just wanted to have Jenny and Janelle come up and my lovely wife and Vanna White here. It's Jenny and Janelle who are responsible, by and large, for putting on this conference, along with so many other volunteers. And it's a lot of work. And as you can see, this has been a really different year. Janelle just had her baby on Monday, and she's here. And Jenny can have her baby anytime now. But she just has to get through this next 30 minutes, and then we don't care after that. Okay, but we just want to thank you, ladies, for just your dedication to putting on this weekend. And we can't do this without you guys, so thank you so much. Here's just a little gift and some handwritten cards from me to you guys. Can we thank them? We have the total. So I'm going to give you the total now before I invite Pastor Peter so we can just let Jesus do what he wants to do after that. Would you like to know the total, how much we've raised? All right, let's see it on the screen. Do we have it? 9, 6, 9, 6, 0. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And here's the exciting thing. We always bring in 30 or 40,000 more after the celebration is over. We're going to get you one of those churches, PB. Pastor Peter is going to speak to us, and this is the last thing we have this morning. Pastor Peter is one of my heroes. Love this man. Love what he's doing in the kingdom of God. Love his heart for Jesus. I love his humility. He leads three major ministries, Africa Renewal Ministries, which sponsors 15,000 plus children. They have orphanages, schools, you name it. He pastors Gaba Community Church, which is a church of thousands of people. He oversees a network of community churches that now has 1,200 churches, most of them planted out of Gaba Community Church. He's an amazing man. We're privileged to hear from him this morning. As he comes, we're going to just show you a little video of their ministry, and then Peter's going to come and preach the Word of God.
In communities across Uganda, hope and transformation are not merely ideals. They are realities built through unwavering commitment and service. Today, we pause to reflect on a journey of faith and action, uniting hearts in a common mission of renewal and purpose.
At Africa Renewal Ministries, we believe that we are building a generation of leaders that will renew their societies by portraying the character of Jesus Christ. Our big mandate has always been to renew Africa and Uganda through the gospel of Jesus Christ and the local church by doing just three things: embracing children, empowering communities, and training leaders.
Africa Renewal Ministries partners with local churches to address the pressing needs of communities. With unwavering commitment, Africa Renewal Ministries supports education, health, and spiritual upliftment, demonstrating that every act of giving creates a foundation for lasting change. In every project and every prayer, the impact of dedicated support is deeply felt.
From 2008, when our ministry leader first got into contact with LifeLinks International, we had a small fellowship that brought together ministers, and that small fellowship grew into the fellowship of community churches. And through these churches, we have seen Uganda embark on a road of transformation. We have seen children come to these churches. We have seen pastors being trained. It's so amazing to see what God can do when people say yes.
The Fellowship of Community Churches is a unifying force, binding local congregations with a shared vision for growth and resilience. FCC's work strengthens community bonds and inspires collective hope. Their efforts stand as a testament to the power of faith combined with dedicated service, serving as a beacon for communities across Uganda.
We have a very, very big vision. And our vision is to grow from where we are to actually go bigger and go to more nations. We currently have a fellowship of 1,000 churches all over the country of Uganda and a few other neighboring countries. So our desire in the 10 years, the next 10 years, is to grow from 1,000 to 10,000 churches, and to grow from being in two countries to actually 10 nations of Africa.
Lift Evangelistic Ministries builds on these efforts by spearheading evangelistic crusades that have touched hearts in cities such as Hoima, Masindi, Rukunjiri, and Kitgum. In collaboration with FCC, Lift Evangelistic Ministries extends its mission into academic arenas, as well as reaching out at prestigious institutions like Makerere University, Chambogo University, Kampala International University, and many schools across these cities.
And I'm reminded at how God has his hand upon this ministry and how he's gracing us. And it's just so exciting to be here and to be a part of it.
As we reflect on this journey of faith and service, let us recognize the profound impact of our collective commitment. These ministries working together in Uganda are not only meeting immediate needs, but are forging a path towards a brighter future.
A fellowship of community churches is such a beautiful fellowship. And I know that so many people out there praying, I want to be part of it. We're actually going to open a door for those who want to belong to come and check us out. And as they do, we will definitely work together with them. We're also praying that God will enable us to have self-sustainability programs where a pastor, a leader can actually be able to take care of themselves.
Every contribution reinforces our shared dedication to service and renewal. We invite you to learn more and continue walking alongside us in this vital mission of hope.
Good morning, have a city. It's exciting for us to be here. And as usual, when I come here, I feel extremely cold, as you can imagine. And every time I come, I get to see a few things. This time I realized that you can be 12 minus 12 and still there's sunshine. And when you get out, you're just freezing. So to us, when there is sunshine, there is heat. So we don't understand that. But I want to say, besides all the cold, there are warm hearts here. You people, you are amazing. And I just want to say a very big thank you to Harvest City and for all that you do to make us do what we do. And on behalf, of course, of all my friends who are here that you support, thank you for being such a generous church. Very few churches can do what you do. So if you don't mind, can you clap for yourselves? Please do. For us specifically, your support to us has helped us. You've heard about our network of churches. Your support helps us a lot in what we do at our network of churches. We are able to do conferences. We do multiple regional conferences around the country, and you have enabled us to actually fund those conferences. But also you support Moses, who actually, he is the coordinator of our network of churches. So thank you so very much for what you do for us and for the ministry that you do around the world. A very special thank you for allowing Pastor Joe and Anatoly to actually come and do ministry among us. It is very, very interesting to see how God has used this ministry to open doors, even in our country. And I'm very excited that now Lift Evangelistic Ministries is going to other parts of Africa. Thank you so, so very much. As you know, evangelism is great, evangelism is powerful, but it's extremely expensive. So your support is what makes this ministry happen. So I want to appreciate you for what you do to support Lift Evangelistic Ministries, but also to allow your pastors to come and hang out with us and experience the great miracles that God is doing. By the way, I've seen a number of you coming to visit and support and minister among us. So next time you hear there is a mission going to Africa, please sign up. It is going to change your life, even as you change the lives of the people in Africa. Praise the Lord. One name, Jesus. What a beautiful theme of this year, 2025. Let me pray before I share the word of God. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share the word. Thank you, Father, for what we've heard, the great testimonies we've had about the power of your name. Lord God, even as we share from scripture this morning, I pray that you use these few moments, Father, to encourage us, to inspire us, to move us from now, Father, to actually realize the power of that name. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Scripture says, whatever you do in word, deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What a powerful scripture. But many times we tend to forget that. But he says, whatever we do, whether you're walking on the street, whether you're serving food somewhere, whether you're teaching class, whether you're working in your workspaces, he says, you should do it in the name of Jesus. Not just because of the name, but because there is power in that name. Praise be to Jesus. So I want to start by asking ourselves, why this one name? Why this one name? I think the first thing here we need to realize is that if it wasn't for the name of Jesus, we would not be here today. Would we be here? If it wasn't for the name of Jesus, how would you get people from all kinds of nations sitting in the same room worshiping God? It's not natural. Can we clap to Jesus for that name? You're in this world, there are so many names that come up. There are football stars, there are athletes, we have the richest people on the planet, we have movie stars, we have politicians, we have music artists. Those are all famous people out there. But also in my country, there are other names. We've had a country where we've worshipped all kinds of gods. We have the gods of the lake. We have the gods of the mountains. We have the gods for fertility, all kinds of gods. So over the years, people have been worshipping all kinds of names. And of course, for our friends from India, I hear there is a religion called Hindu where they have at least 1 million gods. So I wonder what God you can choose out of a million. That's a lot of people, a lot of gods. Now, there's a man who ruled a country called Libya. I think many of you remember that man. His name was called Gaddafi. So Gaddafi was a friend of our president. So one time he came to Uganda. But before he came to Uganda, he had a group that came or a team that came ahead of him. And they made sure that they pay for all the big billboards in the city of Kampala. And they put his very big picture on these billboards. And under the name, they put King of Kings. Yes. So then when he landed in the country, he came with multiple planes. And he was a flamboyant president. So he had funded the biggest mosque. Actually, it's the second largest mosque in Africa. It seats about 10,000 people. It's on the hill, one side of the city of Kampala. So he went there to speak in the mosque because he built the mosque. And he held our book and he held the Muslim book. And he started talking so bad against this book. At the end of his speech, he put down this book and he actually stepped on that book. It was the worst experience we've ever had in our country, someone stepping on the Bible. I want you to know this, that when he went back, you know what happened. The nation rose up against him. He found himself running for his life. And the man who thought he's going to be the king of Africa, he was going to establish what he called the United States of Africa, and was going to be the king of Africa. He was found by a young boy of 17 who actually shot him dead, because there's no other name that is given under the earth or all around the earth through which we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Amen. That man could not survive because he tried to touch the name that is not touched. The book of Philippians chapter 2 talks about Jesus, that beautiful name that you all love. And it's so beautiful as that chapter talks about how Jesus came from heaven and he actually came down and served amongst us. Verse 9 to 11, the Bible says, therefore God also highly exalted him, and he gave him the name which is above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is the name. So the question is, why that name? First of all, it's because God is jealous about his name. He says there is no other name that should be worshipped except the name of God. There is no other name. Just like I've shared with you about this man Gaddafi, you cannot touch that name and survive, because there's only one name, and God is so jealous about his name. But also the other one is, there is no other name. There is no other name. So the last few days we have had testimonies upon testimonies upon testimonies of life change, of transformation. Why? Because there is power behind that name. There is no other name that can change lives. I wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be here, if it wasn't for that name. The reason why we should actually lift up that name is because the Father gave us the name of his Son. The Father decided that because the Son decided to obey his Father, but also to love us so well, that he came and walked amongst us and lived amongst us. The Bible says his Father lifted up his name. And he said, at your name, people are going to be saved. At your name, people are going to be healed. At your name, actually, every knee shall bow. So that's the only name we have. It's not the name of big people. It's not the name of other people. It's the name of Jesus. I'm so excited about that name. Now, we are talking about that name, Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And there are three things that I'm going to talk about. The first one is, there is power to save. There is power to save. Everyone here can attest to the fact that if it wasn't for the power of Jesus Christ, you probably would not be here today. Some of us would be dead. That's right. Some of us will be messed up somewhere because we are useless. We are powerless without that name. I want you to think about a man called Peter that you all love very much. The gospel changed him from a man who was a nobody, a fisherman. You know, in Kampala, we live on the shores of Lake Victoria, and fishermen are usually very interesting people. I don't know about the fishermen here, but they're usually very simple people, and they're known not to save. They're known to be people who live a loose life. But Peter finds Jesus. And Jesus gets him from the countryside, from being a common man, and he takes him to the big city. And not only that, he becomes a leader of a movement from a simple man to an international evangelist. Because there's power in the name of Jesus to save. Do you remember that Samaritan woman? From being a broken woman, morally loose, to becoming a bold witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. After she was changed, she runs to the city. You know, we find that in John chapter 4. She runs to the city and says, "You come and see the man who told me everything about me." From being a useless person, a person who is broken, to become a person who is a witness of the gospel. What about Paul, who was called Saul at the time? From being a persecutor of the church to becoming an apostle for the Gentiles, or to the Gentiles, a writer of several books in the Bible. What a name, and the power in that name. You know, when I accepted Jesus Christ, I joined a very beautiful church. It was called the Full Gospel Church of Uganda. And this church was planted by missionaries who actually came from Vancouver, here in, I think Vancouver is in British Columbia, is it? Yes, from Vancouver. So when they came in the 1960s, and they came to start a church. And then the Lord used them in big ways. So they pitched a tent on one place in the city of Kampala. And then one day, they used to have evening revivals. And one day there was this young man who came in the tent. He was drunk. He was broken. He was what you would call a useless young man. And when he heard the gospel in his drunkenness, he said, "I need what these people are preaching about." He went to the front of that tent. He gave his life to Jesus, and he actually sobered up, and he became a very wonderful man. He ended up getting into the ministry, and he actually became a pastor. So he worked alongside the missionaries. And then in 1972, I think some of you have ever heard about a man called Idi Amin. So in 1972, Idi Amin gave the missionaries in Uganda 48 hours to leave the country. So he was a young pastor working alongside these missionaries. And the missionary came and invited him. And he said, "Man, we are leaving. We have been given 48 hours. Here is the ministry. Just lead the ministry." And this man, his name was called Joshua Kamyamusoke. He was my pastor. So this man, given keys to the church building, keys to the cars and everything, he started leading the church in the hardest time in the history of Uganda. The church went underground. When the church went underground, that church movement had 50 churches. In 1979, when Idi Amin was kicked out, when the church rose from the underground, there were 400 congregations around the country of Uganda. From a drunkard, from an alcoholic drunkard, came a man who became my pastor, and he shepherded us well. Why? Because there's power in the gospel. That's why Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says this: "Is there salvation in any other? For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men through which we must be saved." So friends, I know many of you say, "I don't have the words to speak." Many of you get opportunities to actually share your faith, but you say, "I am not as anointed as Pastor Joe. I've not gone to Bible school." Let me tell you this. It's not that which saves. It is the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. The other thing I know about that name is what we call deliverance. and healing. We've had so many testimonies this weekend about the power of that name. Now, I got saved in 1981 as a young man. And what I remember during that time is we wanted to attend every meeting. Whenever there was any meeting, we wanted to attend to just be where the believers were. Now, this year, there was a crusade, and that crusade was put on by the believers in the city of Kampala. The churches joined, and they invited a man. Now, my friends from West Africa, you know this man. His name was Archbishop Benson Idahosa. So I'm here young. I think I was 19 at the time. And we are in this seat called City Square, thousands of people. And this man is on the platform and he starts preaching the gospel. And after preaching the gospel, there is a man in the congregation who had a hunchback. We are all looking, and this person is bent over, and he says, "You man, come." And this person walks here to the platform with his hunchback, and Benson gets hold of this person here and here, and he says, "In the name of Jesus, stand up." So he pushes this person like this, and the person rises up. Everyone is looking. That day, remember, I was already saved. I said, "God is there." I had never experienced such real miracles in the when everyone is looking. Usually we pray for people and then we make sure when we do crusades, we make sure people don't come to the platform who have not been healed, because we don't want to be ashamed. But man, this guy did. And after that, we started seeing miracles after miracles after miracles. So that day, as a young Christian, I realized that there is power in the name of Jesus. And it changed my whole perspective about life and about how God can do things. God can do anything, friends. I don't know what you're going through today, but I want to promise you there is power in that name that you accepted. So then as we started out in Gaba, we had also a tent. And then one time, they bring this young man from the bush, from the village. And the young man was violent. He was mad. He was so violent that they brought him on ropes. So what they did was, the tent had poles. So they chained him on the pole in our tent. And I said, "God, there are some miracles I've seen somewhere. We want to see this miracle." So our prayer team started praying over this young man. I want to call him John because he may watch me and say, "Pastor, you're telling people about me everywhere." So let me call him John. After about 3 days, the demons had left John. John was fully, completely healed. John goes back to his home village. Everyone is surprised about what happened to John. John goes back to school. He studies to become a school teacher. He's now married. John is a school teacher, married. He's an elder in his church. I believe his kids are now already old. God can do anything. Friends, there is power in that name. That's why I like this scripture, which says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do." I never understood that scripture until one time there is this man of God who explained it. He said, "Peter, when the Bible says in my name, it doesn't mean that whatever you say, you just put a stamp in my name. But he says that when he says in my name, this is what he means. That when you pray in the name of Jesus, whatever situation there is, ceases to see you who is praying, and that situation sees the name behind that which you are talking about. So in other words, it's not you, but you are coming in the name of Jesus. When I started understanding that, it changed the way I look at the world completely. So when I'm praying for people, many times it's, oh, are they going to be healed or are they not going to be healed? What I decided was to know that, by the way, when I'm praying for people, people are not going to be healed because I'm a good preacher. No. They're going to be healed because I'm there in the name of Jesus. Does that make sense? So that's what happens even when we preach the gospel in these crusades. As you speak, people start seeing the Jesus behind the message. And so they respond to him, not to you. So when I started learning about that, I'm not worried when I am making an altar, because I know one thing, it's not me who is serving, it is him who is doing it. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they will be whole. In my name, they will cast down demons. In my name. So friends, when you go, just know there is a power behind that name. Because behind that name, there is the real Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Master who actually does it. Yes. Praise be to God. So the power of the name of Jesus saves, but also the power of the name of Jesus heals and brings deliverance. But there is also something else, friends. The power of the name of Jesus changes communities and nations. There is a community, it's called Molete. It's about, I would say, about 90 miles west of the city of Kampala. This community, we went there with my wife, and our pastor there, he was called, you know, Pastor Dave knows him, Bishop Wilson. So Bishop Wilson was, they had just planted a tiny little church in this community. Now, to go to this community, we had to park our vehicle like 2 miles away because there was no road to this community. So we go to this community, and this tiny little church was just starting. And the pastor told us about the dream that he had for this community. And when I reached there, I saw hopelessness. But you know what? The gospel had come to that village. And I started seeing God doing big things in that community. As they continued preaching the gospel, people started getting saved. And as they got saved, people became more clearer about what life means. And God started changing people, but also he started changing the community. If you go there today, which is like, I would say now, like 27 years later, this is what is in that community today. You know, Bishop Wilson went on to be with the Lord, but he had this dream. He said, in this community, I want to see a clinic. He says, in this community, I want to see a school. He says, in this community, I want to see electricity. Interestingly, a few years after we've been there, you know, an organization came and actually helped them to build a road. A few years later, they started a school. A few years later, we talked to some friends of ours, and we ended up putting up a water system there. And when we put the water system to the school, the pastor says, no, I have to provide water to my whole village. So the water that was for the school also was shared to the whole village. Then later on, we had a clinic there. And then the community continued prospering and changing. The day that Bishop Wilson passed, we went there and I saw that the electric lines had been brought. When he died, the power hadn't come, but the electric lines were there. The other day I was there, there was electricity in the community. Now, this is what I want you to see. that whenever the gospel goes to a place, it does not leave that community the same. And that's why I'm so excited about your church and the way you've been involved in the nations. Because when the gospel comes to a community, it changes people, but it changes the way people look at life. People start behaving better. They become more prosperous and more understanding. They take their children to school. But not only that, the community completely changes. So that is what you do when you take the gospel and you take the name of Jesus. Now, friends, when I come here, I just love your church. It's like United Nations. Have you realized that? Oh, yeah, it is. It's amazing. You know, you see people. I've been taking pictures of the people who are singing here. And I say, man, these are beautiful, different colors of people, but also different, you know, clothings and all of that. And I want to say this. And I'm going to start with people who came from outside Canada. Why are you here? How comes that God brought you in this country of Canada? I don't think God brought you just for bringing you here. God brought you on an assignment. There is something that you heard back home that Canada needs. There is fire in Africa. We need to bring fire in Canada. There is prayer in Africa. We need to bring prayer to Canada. There is that expressive worship. We need to bring it here. I believe that you are here on assignment. There is something that I see every time I go to the Western world. What the Western world brought to us, they actually abandoned it. And where you said the gospel, it is actually thriving. So when you guys come, I pray that you will bring back the fire that you have. Bring it here to the glory of God. Then I want to talk to my friends, the Canadians. Why do you think God brought these people here? That God is speaking to you, that through you and through your interactions to them, you will actually get a bigger picture of the nations. That God will use you to actually go back to those nations. I see God saying, you are going to go to more nations than you've ever seen. So my prayer is that for every, what do you call those things? Flags? I almost call them umbrellas. So those, for every flag that you have, God is saying something. Because God brought these people here that you would go back to their nations with them. That's my prayer that it will happen. So I see God using the gospel, using the name of Jesus to actually help us to go, which is bringing me to my last part of my conversation, our mandate. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. I feel that God is saying that you have the name, but there is a mandate behind that name. The first one is we need to preserve and stay true to our faith in that name. The second part of that mandate is to teach, to preach, and share this truth daily. We need to share that truth daily and live it in our lives. And the third thing is to take this message to the nation and the nations of the world. So why do we need to preserve and stay true to this? We need to contend to the faith. Because when peace comes, when prosperity comes in a nation, people tend to start reasoning out this book. Contend for what you believe. The second one, teach, preach. Friends, we need to start with our families. And then we need to make sure that the churches do not lose the simplicity of the gospel message, because it's that simplicity that changed us. And the final one, this message should go to the nations. Starting with the nations that are here in this nation and the nations of the people that are unreached amongst us, again to the nations. I pray that God would do something special in every one of us. I pray that this weekend will not just be a weekend where we sang the name of Jesus. My prayer is that this weekend will ignite a new fire, a new desire, and a new zeal for that name, because that name has made a big difference on the planet. So friends, as we finish this service, can someone play on the keyboard, please? As we finish this service today, and as you remember all the things that you've heard, the stories and the testimonies, I believe that, one, there's some of you who came to this weekend to experience what's going on. But the question is, what about that name? In your heart of hearts, what about that name? Is Jesus your very personal Lord and Savior? Are you sure that you're sure that you're sure that your name is written in the book of life? That Jesus became that very name in your life? Are you sure? If you're not, in this beautiful auditorium, at the end of this beautiful weekend, you can actually open your heart and your mind and your life to give him your life, because that name changes everything. He's the Savior of the world. But also I know that as we walk and journey through life, sometimes we drop off. We become so busy and we cease to be as serious, or we stop walking with Jesus. But I pray that this weekend will be a day, a weekend where you say, God, I want to reconnect back to you, because I've realized I can't run my life. I cannot help myself. I'm stuck without you. So if you're here and you're that kind of a person who says, I want to recommit my life to Jesus, I want you to know that that name is still powerful. It still changes lives. That name still revives and restores people. I want to ask you and request you by the mercies of God to come and recommit your life to Jesus. But also, even as we finish this service today, you may be here and you say, I'm tormented. I am tormented. I have things that are holding me. I have things. I have oppressive forces. Sometimes it's an addiction. Sometimes it's something that strangles you at night. Sometimes it's a habit that you don't know how to break it. There is power in the name of Jesus to break strongholds. We sang that song. But also, you may be sick. There is power in the name of Jesus to heal your sickness tonight, this morning. May we access that name, because he's already here. May we access that name. So this morning, we're going to pray. But also, there are other people who say, I have this calling in my heart. And I thought it's going to be me, but I want to surrender my life totally and completely that God may work and use me. May whatever God is speaking to you, we would like to open this altar for us to pray. If you don't mind, can we all stand up? Can we all stand up? And if you need special prayer, I know there are ministers here, there are pastors, there are prayer team, there are elders. We're going to be praying with you. So ministers, can you come to the front as God's people get prepared? So as you can lead something as walk. Please, if you need that special prayer, you come. And ministers, please come. We want to minister to God's people. There is power in that name. Let us utilize this opportunity. Yes. Please come. Let us enjoy the presence of God. May God do miracles this day. Hallelujah. We can spread all over. Can spread all over. And you can. And when you come, please tell us whether you want to get saved, whether you want to recommit your life, whether you need healing. There is power in Jesus to heal the sick. Yes. And for the rest of us, as we are doing this, just pray for yourself. Just say, God, do something new in my heart. Minister to my heart. Minister to my life. Thank you, Jesus. Please walk to the front and let us pray with you.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus, we'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.